I do have a couple things I wanted to mention. There was obviously a number of people involved in making this children's program sort of so we could pull it off this morning. We had a practice yesterday, we had a practice Wednesday night, and they've been learning and things. So there's so many names, I don't want to, they probably don't even want me to mention their names, but let's just give those children and all those adults that worked on that a round of applause. You also see a number of gifts up here on these two tables. One of the things that our church likes to do is just a ministry to some of the families in the church, especially some of the students that come on Wednesday nights, is we sort of do like a Christmas giving tree. And thanks to your generous giving, we were able to purchase all these gifts that are up here. The church members and family gave $832. We were able to buy boots or shoes, hats, gloves, scarves, and complete outfit for 19 children. And we were able to get a coat and boots for one adult that was in need. So all these gifts will be given to the families this afternoon, and we really appreciate that, and those that even helped wrap the gifts. And it was a lot of work. And there is one other announcement that I would like to mention, and this has to do with our men's breakfast. Maybe you don't know this, but the first Sunday of every month at 8 o'clock here at the church downstairs, right in the room below this, we have a men's breakfast. And we want to let, you know, any of you men come to that, except for this next one is going to be January 2nd. And apparently no one wants to get up early on January 2nd and cook breakfast. So this particular men's breakfast, we're going to go down the road. It's just up the street at Fenton Coney. So we're all going to meet there at 8 o'clock, January 2nd, at Fenton Coney. So any of you men maybe that have never been to one of those before, why don't you come on? You can bring a boy, you can bring a grandson, a nephew, or whatever, and we can have fun. And then probably the month after that, we'll be back here. But we just wanted to take a time off, so I just wanted to highlight that. But if you have a Bible, find Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. If you don't have one, as mentioned, there's one of those black Bibles in the pews. You can find it. Matthew chapter 7. It's in the New Testament. It's the first book of the New Testament. And you'll see like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in Matthew chapter 7. And my sisters are here. Matthew chapter 7 is right between 6, Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 8. So you can find that. I didn't try that joke yet, but I had an earlier joke that I tried. My sermon is 14 minutes long, but if I talk really fast, I can get it done in 7, but I could slow it up and get it done in 21. So we'll just see how it goes. But I'm encouraged this year because it seems like more and more people are wishing me a Merry Christmas. It seems like in the last few years, I've been getting a lot of happy holidays, and I have a Jewish doctor, and he said happy holidays, but everybody else is telling me Merry Christmas, and honestly, I'm just encouraged by that. It's a really great time of the year with all the decorations and the lights, and you drive around the community, and my children are pointing out the different lights, and on top of that, we always make the special foods, don't we? You know, we don't normally put marshmallows on top of dishes, but at Christmas time we do. And it's just a fun time of the year. And then on top of that, there's even the music. You know, you try flipping through the channels on your radio and you're going to hear all these Christmas songs. And maybe normally you stay away from the hardcore gangster rap station, but this time of year they're playing Holly Jolly Christmas. So it's just, it's a lot of fun, and it's of course the presents, right? We even see presents up here. Anybody excited about giving or getting something this year? Anyone excited getting or giving something this year? You know, sometimes I ask questions. You can raise your hand. You can nod your head. You can hoop or holler or just whatever, okay? Just about anything's acceptable. Is anyone excited about getting or giving a present this year? All right, good. You're alive. Matthew chapter 7, and it's verse 11. And just to give you a little background about this, it's Jesus talking, okay? And he says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now, as I was saying, this is Jesus talking, and he's preaching one of the greatest sermons of all time. And many people call this sermon, this talk, the Sermon on the Mount. And he is talking about his Father, who is God. And Jesus said that God, who's the greatest giver of all time, isn't that pretty cool? I think we can agree with that. God, the Father, is the greatest giver of all time. Now, Jesus is also talking about us in that verse. He's talking about two different people. He's talking about God, and he's talking about us. Jesus says that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, if we know what makes our children happy, and if you have young children, sometimes it's easy to make them happy. Sometimes they don't even play with the toy. They play with the box the toy came in. You see them sort of behind the couch over in the corner. They're lying in a pile of crumpled wrapping paper in half inside of a box. "What are you doing, honey?" "Daddy, I'm playing." Okay. Sometimes children just get excited over the oddest things. You know, maybe somebody will ask, "Hey, what'd you get for Christmas?" "Yeah, I got this box." "Actually, we got him a PlayStation 4. He's just playing with the box." Most of us, we understand what good gifts are. We really know what good gifts are. And good gifts, they don't always have to be expensive. Good gifts can be inexpensive as long as they're heartfelt. But Jesus says, if we, even though we're dirty, rotten, evil sinners, right? Even if we know how to make our children happy, how much more can we count on God giving a gift that will make us happy? Do you see that, friends? I hope you see that right there in the Bible. I hope you understand that whenever I'm talking up here or preaching up here, I'm not saying something that I thought up this morning or some old guy told me to say, all right? Whatever I say this morning is based upon the Bible, God's word. And Jesus says, if we can give a good gift, don't you think God can do better? Don't you think God can do better? I'd like us to consider a couple things just this morning for just a few more minutes. And I think I'm talking fast. We'll get out of here plenty on time. And I want you to think about a couple things, okay? And if you think I'm going to talk about, you know, how some people just go overboard on gifts and materialism, I'm not going to talk about that, okay? Gifts are great. It's like, don't go too crazy, but gifts are great. What I'd like to consider this morning is that perfect gift that God talks about. That perfect gift that he's able to give is actually Jesus. It's Jesus. And all I'll ask you to do this morning and later on into this next week is look for that gift. Look for Jesus in everything that you see and everything that you do. Look for ways to get closer to him or ways to love him more. Now, I know that we're preoccupied with looking for ways to love our wives or our husbands or our children or our grandchildren or our nieces, our nephews, our neighbors, whatever it is. I know that we're looking out for things to love each other better, but what about Jesus? He's the perfect gift. Is there time for him? There's time for him not just this week, but maybe the rest of this month and all the time? Is there time to seek his forgiveness, his love, his mercy? Let me phrase it in a little bit different way. Do you ever glory in Jesus Christ? Here's another way to put it. Do you ever praise him? Now, I'm not talking about singing in church. I'm talking about finding joy in Jesus. the last Friday morning, I saw my thyroid doctor, and he's in Bloomfield Hills. He's an endocrinologist, and he's a very busy man. I'm told that some endocrinologists are booked up for months and even years in advance. But I get to the front of the line because I had thyroid cancer a couple years ago. And it's been removed. Praise the Lord. I'm cancer-free. But I still see Dr. Schmelz for a checkup every year. He lays me down on a table and he does an ultrasound on my neck and he draws several vials of blood and he just point blank asks me, he says, Josh, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And he's not like asking me, how are you doing emotionally? He's saying, how are you doing physically? And he has this little computer sort of on a stand that he wheels around. And a couple weeks later, he sends me a letter. And everything that I told him, he's typed in a report. And he gives me all the test results. And he includes everything about how I told him how I feel. I think that's really neat. You know, I know I'm bragging up my doctor a little bit. But I do that because something was really wrong with me. I couldn't fix it myself. No pill was going to take away my cancer. In fact, I took a pill for about a year, and it took away a bunch of spots on my thyroid, but that cancer spot, it didn't take it away. You know, no taking some like secret cough cold remedy from grandpa was going to take that away. And I tried that. I tried this secret remedy from this 86-year-old guy named Earl. Great friend of mine. It didn't take it away. Okay? Someone was going to have to slice open my throat and very skillfully cut out that thyroid tissue without hitting my vocal cords, right? Because I talk for a living. Okay, you can't cut out my vocal cords. You can't hit the wrong thing without cutting my carotid artery so I don't just die right there on the table. And as much as I love my dad and my mom and my sisters and my wife and all my kids, and I didn't bring up my wife because I knew she wouldn't do it, but my dad, if I said, hey, cut out my thyroid, he'd probably try it, okay? He'd probably try it out on the workbench in the shop, but he may hit an artery. I may bleed to death and die right there, okay? We needed somebody that really knew what they were doing to come in and save my life. And that's why I talk about my doctor sometimes. You know, Dr. Icabelli discovered it. Dr. Zacco did the surgery, and Dr. Schmelz does the ongoing treatment. And if I didn't have an ongoing treatment, I'd be dead in a couple months. So sometimes I tend to brag up those doctors. Most of you have probably never heard of those men. My surgeon, Dr. Peter Zacco. You've never heard of him because you've never needed a central neck dissection. So there's no concern. But this Christmas time, I want you all to understand that Jesus came as a baby. He left the throne room in heaven, and he came to this earth as God's perfect gift. And Jesus is God's gift to mankind for one reason alone, and that was to save us. And that's why we can praise Jesus. That's why we can glory in him. That's why we can brag him up, because we were sinners who needed a Savior. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were totally hopeless and helpless. We were on our way to hell. Romans 3 says the wages of sin is death. Actually, that's Romans 6. And you know, without that perfect gift of Jesus Christ, we'd still be on our way to hell. And you know what? If you can't find joy in that, if you can't praise God for that, I don't know what else to say. Jesus came to save us, this perfect gift, and he will always willingly forgive you and me. Whenever you ask. Now, somebody might say, not me, Josh. If you knew me, if you know what I've done, I've smoked some crazy stuff. I've drank even worse. And the worst part of it all is I've hurt so many people. You know, can I be straightforward with you? That's one of the things I always like to do. I like to be straightforward and honest. And I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to mock you in any way. But when people start giving me this line that they've done this and they've done that and it's too much for Jesus to forgive them or save them, my mind starts to wander. Do you ever have that? You're starting to talk to somebody and your mind just starts to wander. And sometimes when people are saying, God can't forgive me, my mind starts to wander. And I start to maybe want to ask them, so did you sleep with your neighbor's wife and then have that neighbor murdered? Anybody? Anybody have that? A guy in the Bible did. King David. And God forgave him. So why do you think that you've done something that's unforgivable? Hey, what about this one? Have you ever gone into church with a group of armed mercenaries, killed the pastor and all the deacons, and then sold their wives and their children into slavery? Anybody? Anybody participate in the execution of a street preacher? Nobody? Well, Paul did that, and he was forgiven. So all of that stuff that you think you've done that's so bad that Jesus could never forgive you, it's pretty much lame. It's child's play. Listen up. There's no sin in this room that Jesus can't forgive. None. Don't saddle yourself with this baggage thinking, woe is me, I've done too much. Please know this. Christmas is about Jesus, and Jesus was born to absorb the penalty for our sins, and in order to take that full blow of God's wrath that was meant for you and for me, Jesus did that. So this Friday, Christmas Day, when you're hanging out with family or friends or doing whatever you normally do, some great traditions, all I want us to do is have a firm understanding that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. And all I'm going to ask you to do is give him your undivided attention this Christmas time. We're going to pray here in a moment, and this is a new thing. This isn't any program, but can we do one verse of Silent Night? Just one verse of Silent Night. And I'll pray, and when I'm done praying, you folks can stand, and then we'll be done. Well, Tim's even going to come lead it for us. Great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this amazing gift of your son Jesus, and that he was the great gift that we really needed. And he was right on time to save us all. And Father, I pray for my friends and my family that I see out here, and some of these folks, Lord, I've just met for the first time, or maybe I've met very few times, but Lord, I would ask that they would have a very thorough understanding that Jesus is the Savior. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he can save them if they just simply ask. Father, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and our lives, and sort of this week and these next few days and on into the next month and the new year, that we would really just give undivided attention. That we would praise him and find joy and just brag him up as much as we can for one reason, because he forgave us and saved us. In Jesus' name, amen.